And I'm Frederick Philip Bond Vice, and thank you for consuming the Thunder Nerds, a conversation with the people behind the technology
that love what they do and do tech good.
Yeah, we're laughing.
I'm dying.
Sorry, we got a case of yellow toe. If you don't know what that is, watch the previous episode. Live at the DevFest Florida 2019 in Orlando, Florida, in
the Disney's Contemporary Resort. It's magical.
It is magical. Contemporary, moderate, or however you want to say it. We're here, we're live, and we're so excited. We're talking to all kinds of guests. We're talking to this guy, and I can tell by his smile that he's just beaming and happy to be here. And he already spoke today. We're talking with Jared Corson now.
Welcome, Jared.
Welcome.
Yay.
Yeah.
Woo.
Go, Jared.
Jared,
let's start off by, if you can provide the audience with a little bit of context about what you do.
Sure. So a little bit of context or a lot of context?
Context.
I want about 5.7 minutes of context.
Start from 3 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
Earth.
Well, we want to
be there.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm Jared Porcinalic, as you said. I'm a software developer. I work for a company called I Make Shirts. They also
I like shirts.
I wear them.
I am wearing one of the shirts they make. Okay, maybe they just hired another company to make the shirts. But I work for a company called Nebbia, and we do a lot of stuff around Azure and DevOps. Actually, that's all we do. We help people out with their stuff in Azure, and we help them out with getting the code there in a way that's repeatable and secure and stable and reliable. So that's what we do there. And as a software for about 6 years now, it's been an interesting journey for sure. I remember my first line of JavaScript that I copied and pasted. A friend of mine gave me it, not GitHub, but over like email or something. He's like,
email,
you need to use this line of JavaScript. And I said, okay, what does it do?
Yeah, what were you building that you needed this? I want to know.
Okay, so I worked for a company that sold restaurant equipment, and I they're all static HTML pages, and I knew nothing. Like, just imagine me, Jared Porcinalic, six years ago, less gray in the beard. And
you don't look like you have any gray.
I have a little, there's like one.
No. B-O-O-H-O-O, keep going.
Lightweight.
So I was working on this site, but it wasn't just one site. It was like 300 sites with literal domain names. There are 300 different, it was like, it was all based around specific types of restaurant equipment. So the domain name had like toaster oven in it. The idea being like the late 90s when the sites were made. And because it's part of the domain name, toaster comes up first.
Right? Yes.
So it's very much an SEO strategy to have 300 sites. But when I was working on the site in 2012, it kind of proliferated into 300 sites, and they were all static HTML driven. So there's no database. And there's 36,000 products.
Oh,
and so whenever a price changed, I needed to go in and update that price in three places on a page. And the price would change every year or so from the companies that every year they'd update their pricing. And there's like, dozens and dozens of companies that have all these different products. And
nightmare.
Yeah, it was a nightmare. And I understand how they got there. Like, I get it. I empathize. With what happened, like the CEO of the company was the owner's son in the 90s. He was like, we're going to get on the internet and it's going to be great. And they did. And then he moved on to like more businessy roles. And he didn't, because of cost reasons, didn't hire a bunch of really, really technical people, just hired people to maintain stuff they'd already started. So that's how it kind of like grew and grew and grew. And people copied pages and copied pages and copied pages.
I heard a little bit inside.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so every year, the copyright date at the bottom of the page would need updated on all of these pages.
Oh, that's the JavaScript.
So this is the JavaScript
for the year. Yeah.
My friend gave me, and I was like, I don't know. I put it in the page, and Microsoft front page, if anybody remembers that.
Oh, F yeah.
And, you know, put it on the server via FTP, if anybody remembers that.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm sure people still use us yeah. FTP, but... Yes. And then I saw it on the page, and I was enthralled and amazed that one line of JavaScript that just sat in line with the rest of the code could make my life so much easier, because now every single year after that, I don't have to go to the bottom of all
these pages. January 1st, you don't
January
have to
1st,
be there.
It's all there. Yeah, I could sleep in for a whole month. I don't have to be there. And it was me and three other people, like literally full
time.
And
you don't almost. Tell anybody that shit. You just like, oh man, I got this whole week.
Just, yeah.
So that
2013. Fuck.
Yeah.
Sleep.
So yeah. So since then, I mean, I was kind of hooked on that. And I was going to school at the time for video production and video radio production, which is also something I really like doing. And it just so happened that I got that job doing web development. I didn't look for it. I had a friend who worked at that restaurant equipment company answering phones, and you know, it was just an accident basically that I got that job. And it was essentially data entry.
Wild west.
Yep. Yeah.
But since then, you know, it's become definitely something I really enjoy. And I see from that moment, like the power that you could have, like, and then thinking about how you could take, you know, software development and instantly make it available to the entire world and be able to be used by millions of people all at once. Like, there's nothing else in the world before that that's like that. It's like amazing. So anyway, Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah.
It makes my whole soul smile. I love it.
Soul smile.
Do we all need to do that?
No, it's not.
I suggest it.
Yeah.
We can all just sit here. Like
so why don't you guys tell me about how you got started? Who's doing this podcast? Am I the host now?
If you want, sure.
Officially, you're the host now. Yeah.
Interview all three of us. All right. Good luck.
How'd you get your start? No.
So tell me, okay, what was your talk about? Like,
why didn't they come?
I mean, they could have been.
Actually, it's videotaped. So they
should
go watch it.
I mean, what's wrong with y'all? All right. I should have come.
For the people that could not make it, let's explain to them. We don't know the circumstances of their situation.
We still love you.
Yes. Yeah. And they might come and see you speak at another event. So let's get them excited to come and see you.
Like your IoT meetups.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope I get accepted to Orlando Code Camp, and I'm going to be talking about stuff there.
Yay!
So if anybody out there wants to, you know, hear about the cool things I talk about, that would be a good place.
We heard you're in.
Oh, I am?
I mean, I don't know. We don't know. We can't really give you that.
Did you have a question?
So what was your talk about?
What was my talk about? Yeah. So are both your listeners, are they both going to, like, maybe we should just let one of them, you know,
maybe
take a break?
Sure.
Because this is not going to be interesting.
I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
I believe in you.
So I talked about IoT. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, me too. So I talked about the Internet of Things. It's kind of like a thing I like to talk about. Because, again...
What is the Internet of Things for the people that maybe don't know?
Right, yeah. So
things.
I saw... Historically, I think there's been waves of just technology that's come and like washed upon us, and then we've basked in its glory. Things like video. Sure. You know, video was a thing. Radio was a thing, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
But back in the day in computing, you know, it was amazing to have, you know, going from these calculators and just writing stuff down to having an IBM machine on your desk where you put in the calculations and it does it for you. And that's really incredible. It made people way more efficient. And then those same people who are doing that figured out that if they connect their computers to each other, you know, through the internet, they'd be able to do those things a lot more collaboratively, and they'd be able to work together on those calculations, and you'd be able to have a Google Doc and work collaboratively on it. And that's given us things like Instagram, and it's given us things like Facebook and Twitter and all these great platforms to be able to communicate with each other in ways that we couldn't when we had that IBM machine on our desk, even though that IBM machine on our desk was really cool and really efficient at the time, and it made our lives a lot easier. Well, the thing is, with things, we for a long time have accepted, like, we have our thing, you know, we have our microwave, and we hit the buttons on the microwave, and it makes our food, and isn't that wonderful? And the idea of the Internet of Things is to take those things like the microwave, which do have a little microprocessor in it, is a computer in there, and start connecting them to each other. And just like with computers, you know, the more things we connect to each other, the more value we create. Because Facebook with one other friend isn't all that fun. But when you have Facebook with lots of other people on board, it becomes a lot more interesting. So, you know, I bought a connected microwave. And you're like, okay, great, Jared, that's fine. You know, wonderful job on that connected microwave. I really hope you enjoy all the wonderful things you can do with the connected microwave.
Spent a lot of time with my Raspberry Pi.
Yeah. And right now we're at that point where it's like, it is very much full of friction to connect things. Like, it takes effort. You got to get the very particular app for that one thing.
That annoying.
Yeah, and it's the worst, right? Oh, the Internet of Things.
Oh, convenience.
Yeah.
The Internet of Things sucks.
No, but that's why I'm in the space, is because I see that there's a lot of value here. I think that there's a lot of value here when we are able to connect our things, but it's still very difficult to do it in a way that's easy for people to do, or and also a lot of concerns around security, a lot of concerns around privacy, a lot of things that are not figured out well yet. And I think, you know, we humans have been solving problems for a very long time, and I think there's better problems that we're gonna go out and solve. So that's why I'm interested in the Internet of Things. That's what I talked about, and that's what the Internet of Things is. It's taking our things that normally are seen as, you know, just kind of stupid and not, no technology in them, or a little bit of technology, but they're not connected to anything, and start connecting with them with each other, so that we can kind of have the world work for us, rather than, you know, us making everything all manual and have to go.
So what's the meat of your talk about that? Like, what are you trying to convey?
So in the same theme, in the same vein of, I want to make it easy for people to do this. Like, what we do at Nebula Technology is very much aligned with what I'm trying to talk about in my talks, which is Azure and DevOps. Mainly in this talk, we're talking about DevOps. So DevOps encompasses a lot of things, and it's basically the people, processes, and tools of being able to complete the loop of getting an idea, planning it out, writing the code, testing it, or building it, testing it, getting it into production, then getting feedback from it once it's in production to inform the next idea that we have that we can plan and then write code for. So it's that whole loop. Uh-huh. And back in like the 90s, that loop took 6 months or 2 years. You know, you guys remember Windows 98? That was a winner.
It was super successful.
Yeah, ME. Yeah. You guys remember Millennium Edition?
Yeah.
Shh, that didn't happen.
Vista? Yeah. So all of these things were very...
I like Vista.
Like that one,
people
I
are dating themselves in this whole lineup. Everyone remember 3.1?
Yeah. I was a big John user. Yes.
Okay, see, now that's starting to like... Oh, okay. He's got the DOS user. We found him.
I remember working on my green screen at home.
Oh, yeah, dude, yeah.
I punched cards? No, I didn't.
Punch cards. Abacus?
We didn't even have math. The concept of zero was not invented yet.
Back in the Sumerian days. Yeah. Hair flip.
All right. Well, we had an evolved hair back when I was... No, I'm
just kidding. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Okay. One question I like to ask is, a lot of people don't really see the behind the scenes of the effort it takes to prepare your talk, to create the slides, to take the screenshots, to take the pictures, to decide what to do, a bit of like a glance behind the curtain, so to speak, on what it took to prepare for your presentation.
Sure. Well, when I woke up this morning, no, I mean, honestly, as I told, I was telling my wife, Sarah, I was like, she was asking me how far along I was, because she knows I'm a procrastinator. She knows that like I'm working on this. Late last night at 12:30, like I was almost done, you know. And but like 2 days ago, she asked me like, how far are you? And I'm like, I'm almost done. And she was like, sure. And I said, Sarah, I have the outline done. And that's 80% of the work. And I said, no, wait, actually, that's 2% of the work. Because that's 1.6% of the work, I said. Because 98% of the work is all the knowledge I gained.
Yeah.
I was going to write a talk about. And then 1.6% of the work was making the outline, and then the only 0.4% of the work was actually taking that outline and turning it into a presentation. And that 0.4% probably took, you know, like 8 hours. But, you know, you know, that's what scenes is that a lot of coming up with what to talk about and putting the talk together is life experience until that point.
Yeah,
and it takes time.
Yeah. And I don't want to scare anybody who has like just started. Like, if you, even if you've just started, I think you have something to contribute. Like, and I think that there's people who haven't just started yet that you could probably get on board to just start. So no matter where you're at, you have something to talk
and
about.
And it's great to organize your thoughts into something like that to where you have this cohesive thing that you could talk about, because not only are you, you know, helping to contribute to the community, but you're also kind of solidifying that knowledge within your own mind. It's a, and you know, you pick up things along the way going, you know what, actually, now that I think about that,
yeah, you're learning something
along the way. You're learning something along the way. Well, hey, Jared, we're just about out of time. Do you want to tell our audience the best way people could find you?
Sure. So the best way people can find me is probably Twitter at jporcinalic. So it's at the at symbol as per Twitter protocol. And then jporcinalic, it's JPorcenalic.
Nice. All right. And we'll and all that in the show notes. But hey, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, everybody. We'll have more to come just a little bit.
I mean,
thanks for consuming the Thunder Nerds. We honestly and sincerely appreciate you watching and or listening to the show. Please subscribe on YouTube and iTunes. Write us a review, kick a few stars our way. And above all else, please remember to send your favorite book suggestions to Brian Hinton.
I like romance novels. They have happy endings.
I should have known the Territor didn't mean us any harm when the Sword of Omens didn't obey me. And anyway, it was just plain stupid to assume it might be bad. Just what the fuck am I talking about?